Chapter 3, Lollapalooza. I didn't have sex in high school. A lot of people did, so I'm sure there was something to be said for it, but in my case, I'm thankful I waited. Not because it turned out to be a special experience for me or anything. Gossip in Cuba moved at light speed. I guess I just preferred for my vagina to stay out of the public discourse. If you have sex with boys in high school, they'll tell everybody and they won't like you anymore. I realize my mother sounds like Margaret White from Carrie, but her guidance kept me out of trouble to a certain extent. The downside to being a prude was that my boyfriends would seek their kicks elsewhere. When I was a sophomore, my first boyfriend fingered a senior girl in the back of the activity bus. He told his friends to smell his finger afterwards, and the entire school, except for me, knew the next day. It was the single most humiliating experience of high school for me because, by some miracle, I didn't find out for 3 months. And all the while, that girl would throw food at me whenever she saw me in the cafeteria and yell, "Fucking snatch!" I didn't know her, what the word meant, or why she was calling me that. All I knew was that she had a baby when she was 14. Finally, my cousin exposed the Fingergate scandal and defined the word snatch for me. I suppose being called a vagina is better than people describing your vagina. The next summer, I met Simon. He had graduated the year before I started high school. We were on and off for the next 3 years. It was a strange relationship. He was constantly chasing other girls and at the same time begging me to stay with him. I suppose he just wanted to get laid, which is why we were mostly off again. I, on the other hand, morphed into an FBI agent with an ever-revolving caseload. I finally slept with him when I was a freshman in college, and it was terrible. To begin with, I was clueless as to what I was supposed to be doing, so I just lied there like an awkward corpse. No thanks to him. Then, to make it worse, he turned into an 18th century rake after his victory, disappearing for days or weeks after sleeping with me. He would literally have to pretend, like a con artist, that he wanted to get back together with me every time he wanted to get laid. And not long after his disappearances, I'd soon hear that he was with another girl at a party. There were lots of terrible reasons why I continued this relationship, but if I had to identify the overarching reason as to why I allowed it all, it's pretty simple, although not respectable or logical. I wanted to win. It was the summer of 2003, and I can't remember the exact reason, but I had 2 tickets to Lollapalooza. Simon and I were momentarily on again, so I invited him to go with me. But sure enough, the day before the concert, I heard that he was with another girl. She was his friend's sister. Simon had just met her that week. At this point in the investigation, she was faceless and nameless, nothing more than a figure of perfection I crafted in my imagination as a placeholder. I interrogated him about it on the way to the concert, and he said it wasn't true. My intuition, expertise in this line of work, and his track record told me otherwise, but I was too lazy and exhausted with everything about him that I just decided to drop the case for the evening. We entered the amphitheater and found our seats. I don't even remember which bands were playing that night, but I suspect they were lame as hell because there was hardly anyone at the concert. The seats next to ours were empty. Simon's sister was supposed to show up, so at the very least, even if the concert sucked, I'd have a drinking partner for the night. We decided to get some drinks and use the restroom before the show started, and as we walked to the concession area, we were suddenly stopped as a grown-up Latina version of Honey Boo Boo threw her arms around Simon in excitement to say hello. Her hair was in pigtails and she was wearing low-rise Daisy Dukes with a cropped tube top stretched so far around her middle that you couldn't read the wording around the front or the back. I couldn't see her face too well as she embraced him, but she had what appeared to be a date with her, so I didn't think anything of it. As she disengaged and Simon started chatting with her date, I caught a glimpse of her face and recognized her from a softball class I was taking at UNM to satisfy my scholarship requirements. The class was a living hell for me, but not for Honey Boo Boo. She was amazing at softball. You wouldn't think it to look at her, but she was fast, agile, strong, and could throw a ball, and wasn't afraid of it either. She was also really nice. "I think you were in my softball class," I said to her in order to make conversation. "You were really good." "Aw, thank you," she said. "Yeah, I thought you looked familiar." "I'm sorry, but I really need to go to the restroom. I'll be right back." "I need to go too," she said. "I'll go with you and let them finish talking." We waited in line, made small talk, and took care of business. As we washed our hands, I asked her how they knew Simon. "It's actually a really funny story," she bashfully giggled. "Simon was in the Navy with my brother. The guy I'm with tonight, we ran into him at the bar last week, and it was so funny because Simon was hitting on me the whole night." White hot is the only way to describe the adrenaline flush I would normally feel whenever I found out about his antics. This time it was different. It was more like an endorphin rush of white coolness followed by a euphoric lightness. "How do you know Simon?" she asked. "Oh, we've been friends for a few years." "What a small world," she said. "So where are you guys sitting?" I asked her as we left the restroom. "We're on the grass," she said. "We have seats, but there's nobody in our area. You should come sit with us." She excitedly agreed as we approached Simon, who at this point was alone. "Are you ready?" he asked me. "Yeah, Monica's gonna sit with us." "But we have assigned seats." "I know, but nobody's there." "But what if people are there now, and I don't even know where her brother went?" "It's okay," she interrupted, eager to spend more time with Simon. "I'll just call him and let him know. See, Simon, you need to chill out." As we walked to our seats, he attempted to hold my hand. I pulled it away, so he put his arm around me. I giggled and said, "Stop," as though he was merely flirting with me in order to keep Monica, who was walking ahead of us, from catching on. She looked back at us, and I explained, "Oh, he's always just giving me a hard time." She turned back ahead, and we made it to our seats. Simon, who was still shitting bricks and unsure of whether I found him out or not, insisted on entering the row last so that he would sit to my right with Monica on my left. "Oh no, you sit next to Monica," I said loudly so that she would hear and he would have to. "What the hell are you doing?" he whispered. I only responded with a smug smile and laughter. After only a few songs, he decided to make an attempt at ditching her. "Monica, we're going to get another drink. You should go find your brother." "Don't be rude, Simon. Monica, come with us to the bar." "Oh, yeah, I'd like to get a drink," she said. She made her way out of the aisle, and we walked to the bar in a rotating formation of us following one another. Myself avoiding Simon, but staying within close enough proximity to Monica to keep her engaged. Monica following Simon, and Simon following me as I continued to circle away from him. My phone rang. It was his sister calling to let me know she was with Simon's twin brother and some friends in the bar. Naturally, I introduced Monica to the most important people in Simon's life, his sister, the mole who leaked the information about Simon hooking up with Monica in the first place, found the entire situation hilarious and played along. "I love your shirt," his sister said loud enough for him to hear. "Thanks, it's actually a headband I got at the Donna's concert." "It's beautiful," I said. "So do you play any instruments?" his sister asked. "Oh, no, but I sing," she said. In unison, his sister and I insisted, "Sing us a song." I don't remember if she sang well or not, because most of the time I was looking into Simon's eyes like a she-devil with an evil smirk. His sister continued, "Do you have your belly button pierced?" she asked. Again, loud enough for Simon to hear, "Let me see." It was as though all the time, energy, and tears of the past 3 years suddenly had meaning. I felt like Moses, a chosen one. The heavens parted and gifted me the look of agony on his face as she was about to fully expose her midsection to the bar. "Monica, don't!" he yelled. "They're just going to laugh at you." "Don't be an asshole, Simon. It's cute," I yelled back at him. "He can be such a jerk," I said to her. His sister and friends decided to return to the concert, and in a last-ditch effort, Simon tried to tag along with them, but they didn't have room at their seats for him. He was stuck with us. Simon, Monica, and I performed our walking formation and rotation once again on the way back to our seats. Simon finally caught up with me, grabbed the back of my arm, and pinched it. "You need to cut your shit," he whispered. "Of course you can sit with Monica," I responded loudly so she'd hear. She turned around and smiled at him. He was silent for the rest of the concert, and then about 5 minutes before it was over, he took off to the bathroom. When it ended, I told a disappointed Monica that he must have left with his sister. As soon as she left my sight, he reappeared out of hiding behind the brick wall leading to the bathroom. "Let's go," he said. "But don't you want to find Monica? You made your point okay. Can we just go home?" We followed the small crowd toward the door, and once more, the heavens parted. She was waiting for us at the exit. "Hey, are you guys gonna do anything now?" "No, we're just gonna go to my house and hang out," Simon said, pushing my back toward the exit. "Actually, I have to meet a friend," I said, "but you should go to Simon's. You're welcome to ride with us if you want." She agreed, and he looked at me with an expression that said, "You fucking bitch." Like a professional driver, I assisted Monica with entering the back seat, opening and closing the door behind her. As Simon hastily attempted to get in the front passenger seat, I stopped him. "What are you doing?" "Come on," he said. "Are you seriously going to leave me here?" "Of course not. I said as I walked around to his side of the car and opened the door to the back seat. But don't you want to sit with Monica? The traffic line to leave the amphitheater took at least half an hour to get through. I kept the radio on a romantic soft rock station the entire drive to his house and then dropped them off, letting them out of the back seat like a chauffeur once more. He never booty called me again, so I think I won.